the Lord convicted me of something yesterday, and I preached a little bit on it Sunday morning, and then he convicted me some more about it yesterday, and I said, I'm going to preach more on it tonight. John, I want to talk to you on the message tonight, the title, The Appetite of Our Flesh. The Appetite of Our Flesh. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. I'm going to talk to you about money again tonight. There's more appetite of the flesh. It's not just lustful, sexual things. It's not always the lust of the flesh. It's not just delicacies of food and sweet stuff that's a lust of the flesh. Things, trying to acquire different things of the world, that's the lust of the flesh. We have an appetite to acquire different things. Hello? I want to share with a few thoughts with you tonight. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. We did sell two of the pews the other day, and got two of those pews out of that one house. Glad about that. At least that's less we got to carry, amen? And got the witness to the people, gave them a track, wrote them a thank you letter again today, sent it, put another track in it. And you never know, you know? And just God's word never goes out void, does it? Rose and I went out for breakfast this morning, went downtown. I witnessed to a young lady. She had bought stuff at our yard sale here for the church last summer. And she said, I said, oh, yeah, I remember you now. She's the one that bought it and didn't come back for it. little fish aquarium. She says, I didn't want a preacher. I just wanted to give the money to the church. I said, hey, I'll take money anytime you want to give it to us. Yeah. Matter of fact, we got a yard sale going on right now. You want to give me some money? No, I didn't. But witnessed to her, gave her a track. I really believe in putting the seed in people's heart. You just never know. You never know. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus, aren't you glad we got a risen Savior? But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and by the way, the Holy Spirit does dwell in us, everyone that's born again, the very moment you trusted Christ, you got the Holy Spirit in you. From the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And you know what? Many times, though, we, and myself included, we live after the flesh. I want to talk about the appetite of our flesh. I'm not going to be talking about an X-rated movie tonight. I'm going to be talking about things that we deal with every day of our life, just desiring things, you know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray with all, Lord, I believe with all my heart you put these scriptures in my heart. And I pray that I can be an encouragement to the people here tonight. I know there's not a lot here, Father, but I won't be preaching long. But Lord, I pray that what I say will be an encouragement to everyone that's here. Bless us and bless, Lord, I just pray for Carol and all those that need prayer. I pray, Father, that you'd be with all our home that are sick tonight. Be with Cindy and Marty and Bud and Lord, just be with every one of our people. We're thinking about Jimmy Furness. God bless Jimmy, and Lord, help Jimmy Furness. And Lord, just bless our people tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, may be seated. Not only do we lust after the flesh of sexual things and delicacies and sweets and different kinds of foods. We lust after worldly possessions. And I talked to you a little bit Sunday about debt. A lot of times we get in debt because we let the lust of our flesh desire worldly possessions. It's not wrong to have something, But it's wrong when you have to sell your soul to Satan to get what you have. It's wrong. And we love bright colors. We love gadgets. We love cars and boats and radios. I have over 100 of them. I used to have over about 300 of them. I sold a lot of them, made a lot of money on them, matter of fact. Fortunately, most of my radios, Brother Mark, I've bought for 50 cents or a dollar or $5, and I bought them at yard sales or flea markets, or some of you picked up and gave me stuff. And the only things, like the big shortwave, now the big equipment I've had to pay money for, but the majority, the 95% of the radios I bought, I've never paid much more than $10 for them. And we like the bright colors, we like the gadgets, we like the cars, the boats, the widescreen TVs. We like the big item tickets, and we like the thrills and the chills of this world. We really do. How many can say amen to that? We do. Stay there in Romans, but let me just quote the scripture to you. In 1 John 2, verse 15 through 18, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away." By the way, when we pass away, you know what we're taking with us? Nothing. All those possessions, they're left behind. "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That's what we take with us, the souls of mankind. That's why the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And we need to be careful not to love the world so much. We need to be careful that we don't get so caught up in the lost world and the glamour of the world that we have affections for the world that we shouldn't have. Brother Mark talked about things like Sunday night about not getting having some convictions. I'm taking a stand for God. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but we need to have some convictions not to have the love of the world that we do. This isn't our home. I was talking to Marty and Bud Tuesday. I went and saw him yesterday, and I was in the hospital with him, and I said, maybe it was Monday. Days go by so fast, I can't remember. One day after that, you know, how many can remember that? You say, where was I that day? But we need to be very careful that we don't confuse our needs with our wants. But I was telling Marty and Bud, you know, I was telling Marty, said, "Preacher, I'm not going to see that new building get built." And I said, "You know what? I don't know about that. We'll just leave that in God's hand." But I said, "I'm not worried about one way or the other. I said, I'm just looking for Jesus to come, whether the building goes up or not. I mean, I'm going to occupy till he comes. But I'm going to tell you right now, if he come right now, I'll be shouting, amen." But many times, and there's a few young couples here tonight, and I'm glad that they're here. The older folks, this is old hat to the older folks. But young folks, I've been young. You get caught up and you say, "I want this, I want this, I want this." And things, you know, sometimes your wants are bigger than your needs, though. Amen? And sometimes our wants are not what our needs really are. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He shall supply all your need. He didn't say he's going to supply all your wants. Now, that's, the scripture does say in Psalms 37:4, desire, delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But if you're really delighting in the Lord, the desires that you have will be the things that God would really want for you. Amen? There's a real catch to that. If you're delighting in the Lord, you're not going to be having the worldly affections. You're going to be having things that you think that God would really want for you to have. How many are with me right now? And many times our wants are not our needs. I'll give you an illustration. This is what brought this on. I was out, Rose and I went out and bought some stuff. We were at the JCPenney yesterday, and out there at Rolling Acres, and these shoes were on sale. These are on like a clearance or something, the outlet store, and it's hard for me to find a pair of shoes because I have a wide foot. It's kind of like my body, big and wide, you know. And but anyways, when I find a wide shoe, it's hard for me. And then I have those inserts that I put so my legs don't get tore up. Those for your feet. I think I just call them inserts. I don't know what they call them, but it's for your walking. And so I have to have a little bit bigger shoe, but I have to have a wider shoe. And it's hard to, believe it or not, it's hard for me to find a wide shoe. Well, this particular shoe we usually get over there by Chapel Hill. I can't think of the name of the store right now. It's not Penny's, but it's like a discount store. But anyways, they sell ties and all kinds of stuff. It's like stuff that's cheap. But anyways, that's where I normally get this particular brand shoe, and they usually run about $15 to $20 more than what this shoe was yesterday. And boy, I told Rose, I said, wow, look at this. And so I got this one and took the insert and put it. I said, wow, they fit, man. Man, all right. You know? And and then I found another one, was a little bit different, same shoemaker, same shoe, a little bit different style and a different color. Had this, and I had another one my size. I said, wow, it's like a candy store, you know? And so I said, look at this, Rose. She said, well, you ought to get them both. I said, yeah, I'm thinking about getting them both. I said, man, I can't believe the price on these shoes. And I said, man, and I had the money in my pocket to buy them, you know. And so I started walking out, and I got about from here to that piano. I got a few feet, and I stopped, and she said, what's wrong? I said, Rosie, I'm putting one of these shoes back. I don't need two pairs of shoes. Hello? I'm not against you having shoes. But I have other shoes at home yet. Like, now, if you don't have any shoes, you might need two pair. But I have about four or five other pair at home. But I particularly wanted these shoes because I can walk during the daytime with them during the week. And at that price of $29, you can't get wrong with $29 for a shoe fit this fat boy. So just to put it where it's at. So anyways, that's good preaching, isn't it? And the other shoe was like a burgundy, and you know, but I said, you know what? Yeah, I got the money to buy it. But do I need it? We're talking about our wants and our needs. And I said, I could really use these. I need that light brown. I could really use these shoes here. And I said, Rose, I'm going to put the other ones back. And I bought one pair. And a lot of times we get so caught up in stuff, even at a good price. Are you still with me? Even a good deal if you don't need it. How many are still with me? And so I bought one pair because I could use them. I put the other pair back. Oh, I might have used them in the future. And if this wears out and they've still got them going, maybe I'll buy them, you know. But many times that's the way our life is on everything, though. Many times we get so caught up and we get excited about the things of the world that we confuse our need with our wants. How many can say amen to that? And when we want things that we really don't need, then we can let those wants lead us to leaving the principles of God's word. If we leave the principle, if we let wants dictate to our life, then we leave the principles of God's word. Because when we start feeding our appetite for all the different wants from those fleshly desires, hello, then we're not walking with God. At least I don't feel we are. How many understand what I'm saying? And most of the time, people will go in debt for, now that was a small item, it's a pair of shoes, little, it's a little item, but many times they're bigger items and they're more expensive items. And we get caught up. And by the way, I've learned in my life, Carl, even when you got money that you can purchase something, if you won't buy it right then, you'll go home and say, well, I'm going to wait and think about it and pray about it. And if I want it, I'll go back and get it tomorrow. 95% of the time, you won't go back and buy it. Oh, I just got excited. Davey sells cars, and I'm not knocking Davey, but he'll tell you, the salespeople, they want to get you right when you're there because compulsive buying. The best time to sell people is right then. I've talked to Davey, he said, Dad, they leave the lot. Very rare they ever come back, do they, David? If you don't sell them then, if you don't sell them then, you lose them. And he said, you see, the next guy down the line gets them. He's always hoping they're one car lot before him, so he gets them. He hopes he leaves the other guy and it comes to him. Yeah, he gets them. But listen to me. I'm trying to make a point, and I will in just a minute here. We as Christians need to really say, God, do I need these things or do I just want them? There are things we need and there are things that we can have. It's not wrong to have things as long as you can afford them. Hello? But many times most people just charge things and then they wonder, what's wrong? Well, it's because... And you say, well, God's not, we can't make, at the end of the month, you got more bills than you got money. You say, man, God's not supplying my need. No, it isn't God's fault. It's because we went out and lived foolishly, and I've done it myself. We've lived foolishly, made unneeded bills, and now the bills are coming, but now it's different, right? Can anyone say amen? Because we feed our appetites, and we go in debt. Then the guy can't, well, I can't put my tithe in, preacher. I haven't got enough money to pay my bills. Well, it's because you didn't let God supply your need. I got a young couple right after church time. I was counseling another couple. There's Nick laughing right now. Him and Sheila, they're going to be getting married. And I'm going to be counseling tonight and in days ahead. As a matter of fact, I got 3 or 4 couples now I'm counseling with. And one thing I'm going to stress them, and they're getting a little premarital thing even here tonight. The debt. Don't go in debt. Stay out of debt. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Quiet in here. Amen? Listen to me. We start feeding our appetite, and the next thing, Brother Mark, we let the flesh and the desires of the flesh, I'm not even talking about sexual things, I'm talking about worldly items that God says not to love. We're not taking them with us anyways. And we go into debt. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything. We let our fleshly appetite with worldly items lead us to charge and go in debt and for unneeded things. And you know what? Mike preached on this in Sunday school. Captain preached about money in Sunday school last Sunday. And I mentioned on Sunday morning, I got to think, you know what? I need to, on a regular basis, I need to talk to us, my this whole church. And I probably should have waited to preach this on Sunday, but I couldn't wait. We need to be careful about what we spend and what we buy. Hello? And I'm going to tell you, most Christian churches are tore up. And most marriages are ruined because of debt. Because of debt. By the way, Barb, that sweater you got on, that was about the color of my couch that I got, $110 couch that we had when I first got that. That's about what the color, just about the shade of that. That's about the color of my couch was. I thought, but I didn't charge that couch, Carl. I paid money for it, $110. The couch, the lamps, the tables, and everything, the chairs. You kids are getting married. Don't be down. Nick, we got to have all new furniture. If you can't pay for it cash, no new furniture. You buy used furniture if you can't pay cash for furniture. And we need, look up here, we need to start teaching this to our kids. Because, and that's why America's collapsed. And I was part of the problem. We all spent money that we didn't really have. The Bible says we are to owe no man anything. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Now, I know there's a few things you have to buy once in a while. You have to, you know, but you should save your money up and put down the, like a house. Now, you can't pay, not anybody can barely pay for a house and stuff like that. Now, that's an investment. I'm not against that. I'm talking about these little items that you can live without. You have to have a house to live in. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse 7. I quoted this verse Sunday morning. The rich rule over the poor. How many got Proverbs 22:7? Stay in Proverbs because I'm going to show you some more in Proverbs. The rich rule over the poor. You know why they're poor? Because they kept charging. They use their Visa and MasterCard and American Express and everything else till they couldn't run them no more. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. I'm going to tell you right now. That's why we're in such trouble. We are servants to the lender, and the way they charge interest today, those credit cards, you know, you're paying 25%, 30%, sometimes even higher. Don't tell me it's good for you. It's not good for you. And we need to start teaching this in our churches. We really do. And because Christians are just as bad using them credit cards as the world are. Only we're worse. We know the Lord. We shouldn't be loving all those things. We don't need all. We just want to relish ourselves with all the stuff. We don't need it all. If we need it, God will really bring it, or he'll give us somebody to buy it. Look what it says there. And the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. We put ourselves and our family in bondage. And how many families today are in bondage? I'm talking about saved people are in bondage because of debt. And how many times have we heard and seen people go into debt for cars and boats and big items and can't pay their house payment? Or they'll buy a house for $200,000 and they can only pay $100,000. You know, but I'm all for buying things, but only buy what you can pay for. You know, you don't have to stay competitive with the Joneses or the Smiths. Amen. I thought of this, Mark. I thought about this today. I remember. Back in 1959, I was 10 years old. And my dad was my best friend. I loved my dad. I did everything with my dad. And I remember my dad took me. My dad wasn't into sports. He didn't care about sports. But he loved to hunt and fish. And he took me every time. He took me all the time he went. And he took me everywhere hunting and fishing with him. And I remember him taking me to the sports arena in Toledo, Ohio. They tore it down since then, recently. They had a boat show. And of course, Lake Erie, when I was a kid, Lake Erie, you would catch all kinds of perch and walleyes and stuff like that. We lived right there. We lived on the Maumee River, and then 2 minutes away was Lake Erie. We'd go to Point Place. Within 10 minutes, I could be in Lake Erie from where I lived. And we went and looked at all the boats. I was just a little 10-year-old kid. Man, I was wowed. Boy, Dad, they're sharp. I like this one. I like that one. I like that one. I like the red one. I like that blue one too, Dad. Boy, that green and yellow one's pretty nice too, Dad. He said, Rich, next year I'm going to bring you back here. We're going to buy one of these boats. I said, really, Dad? He said, yeah. He said, I decided I'm going to buy a boat and a motor and a trailer. We're going to have a lot of fun fishing in Lake Erie. He said, next year when it comes back here next year, we're going to come back and I'm going to buy one. And for that whole year, Bill, my dad worked hard, sometimes 6 days a week, 16 hours a day. And he saved money. And he kept saving his money. And I remember my dad was so excited. He said, come on, son. I'm back in 1960 now. There's a whole difference. And I remember we bought a Crosby fiberglass boat with a 17 or 18 foot trailer. I think it was a 17 foot boat with a 45 horse Mercury. That was a big time back then. And a Gator trailer. I think it was Gator. And it was $3,000. I know $3,000 is pocket change right now, but it's not pocket change to me, but I know in today's standards it's pocket change. But back in 1960, $3,000 was a lot of money. And I remember my dad paying that man $3,000. And we drove that boat away. No, I think we picked up the next day. He paid for it because it was at the boat show. I had so many wonderful years growing up having fun with that boat, water skiing and fishing and just going up and down. My dad took me to Canada. We went up and down the Trent River, Rice Lake. I went ever up and down the Maumee River. You name it. They had the 4th of July. We were right there when they were shooting them up. I mean, I could tell you story after story. I caught perch two at a time. We'd put bubble gum on the hooks and they'd bite them when I was a kid. There was so many perch in the lake area. It was unbelievable. But I remember, you know what? My dad, he wanted something. See, it's not wrong to want something. Not wrong to have a boat. It's not wrong to want some things. As long as don't stop you from serving the Lord. And my dad wasn't a saved man. But he worked for it. He didn't charge it. He paid cash for it. We need to get that back in the society. We need to teach that to our younger generation. And we older folks need to start living. See, it's the credit card made it too easy. Matter of fact, when we were kids, they didn't have a credit card. Nick, when I was a young boy, I know I'm old. When I was a kid, Sheila, when I was a kid, they didn't have credit cards when I was a kid, not when I was a kid. I remember they had like little credit that maybe once at the gas station, you'd say, put it on the head. Hey, Ace, put it on the head. I'll pay you Friday. Like $5 or $10, and when you got your check, you gave the guy at the Pure gas station. You know, you whenever you got your check on Friday, you gave whatever you owed him if you ran short on gas that week. Whole lot different. But then we started getting into the credit card age. When I started to be getting a little bit, when we got married, the credit card age, the baby boomers started getting the credit cards. Am I boring you guys? And boy, I'm going to tell you, the baby boomers, we knew how to charge. My mom and dad never charged. I don't believe my dad ever owned a credit card. Roddy, I don't think he did. I don't believe my dad ever owned a credit card. I know he didn't. He never charged one thing in his life. He always paid cash. And so what I'm saying is this, we would charge our furniture, we would charge our stoves, we would charge our washer and dryer. Hello? See, it's a lot easier when it's so easy to go, you just take one of those little plastic things and you take a plastic, this ain't a credit card, but this is a IGA. You take a credit card and say, yeah, you mean I could just give you this piece of plastic and you'll deliver that furniture tomorrow? It sure will. Let it roll. Man, that wasn't hard at all. Just $12 a month and $25 here. And the next thing is, though, it never got paid off. Hello? How many are still with me? And what happened? We became a debt society. And we have got to, now of course our country's had a collapse, which, to be honest with you, it stopped us from being stupid. Hello? And it's put a skid on a lot of charging. But that's what the Bible said at the beginning. Don't owe nobody. Look at something else I want you to see there. Why? Are you still in Proverbs? Turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 26 and 27. Just because you've got credit to borrow doesn't mean you have to borrow all your credit. And normally, Eddie, what people do, and we've done it ourselves, not now, but we've done it in the past, we've maxed our credit out. You start with, oh yeah, you got good credit. When you start borrowing, next thing you're borrowing to borrow to pay the borrow. Then the next thing you know, you can't pay nothing. How many are still with me? Notice, look at Proverbs chapter 22. For it tells us in 7 that the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, and then look, go down to verse 26 and 27. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or them that are sureties for debts. What is sureties for debts? A co-signer. Don't co-sign for someone else's debt. Say, oh no, I'll co-sign for him. Sure, I'll co-sign for that. For instance, if Eddie would co-sign for his sister, Myrtle. Well, let's maybe do it the opposite. Let's say Myrtle was co-signed for Eddie, and Eddie wouldn't make the payment on his Chrysler. He didn't, by the way, but I'm just doing it as an illustration. If Eddie didn't make the payment on that Chrysler that he owned, a little car? PT Cruiser. He would be PT cruising, and his sister would be cruising him. Because if he didn't make the payment, guess who they're going to come after? The co-signer. Because you're making a surety for that debt. So what you're doing, say, oh yeah, if he don't pay you, I'll pay you. You want to break a friendship? You want to destroy a family? Don't ever ask anyone to co-sign. And don't ever co-sign for anyone. If someone calls you, hey, they'll give me the loan if you'll co-sign for me. Say, I can't. The Bible's, and you show them, say, I can't co-sign. Two reasons why. Number one, I can't co-sign because the Bible says I can't. Number two, I love you. And I don't want our bond to be broken. Look at how many see that? It says, and don't be for them a surety for debts. God, look up here, church. God does not want us to have debts. Say that. God does not want me to have debts. Yeah, that's right. Now notice, look at the next scripture. If thou, and then he tries to explain it to you. If thou hast nothing to pay, if you don't make the debt, you know, if you're not a surety for a debt, if thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed? You don't have to worry about the guy repossessing your bed, your furniture. I saw a movie once where they were taking the guy's furniture, and the wife was mad at him because she was losing all their furniture. Well, if he would have paid cash for the furniture, she wouldn't be losing her furniture. And the guy wouldn't be in trouble with his wife. The Bible's pretty smart. If you want to be able to sleep at night, you ain't got to worry about someone repossessing something on you. Pay it off. Don't charge. Don't be a surety for a debt. Duh. But the trouble is most people have sleepless nights because they said, Man, I hope my car's still out there in the morning. It's better to have an older car. It's not wrong to have a new car. Please, I hope I'm not getting... It's not wrong to have a new car. It's not. But it is if you can't afford to pay for it. Are you with me? Nothing wrong with, hey, it's good to have a nice car you can depend on. You ain't got to worry about breaking down. Hello? But if you... You'll get young kids go out there, and you kids are going to get married. You, 30, yeah, I'm going to, hey, we're married now, man. I'm going to buy me one of them big, what's some big ones, that the big trucks, the big Hummer, yeah. We're going to get us a Hummer. I'm going to be cool. Hum, 50 grand, hum, whatever they cost. You're going to be a bummer, not with a Hummer. Because you're not going to have no food to buy for your family because you're going to be paying it all to the guy that sold you that Hummer. And if you got bad credit, you're going to be paying like 20% interest or 18%. Holy mackerel, Andy. We're stupid. And that's already after 8 o'clock. I've got more stuff to teach. We're not going to get to it tonight. Isn't that great? But the Bible talks about usury. Usury is what we call interest. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, when you're studying the book of Exodus and stuff, it says that the Christian's not supposed to charge usury at all to another Christian. And then he said you can charge usury to a lost person, but even then you can't steal. You can't charge a lot. Hello? And we get mad. I know we get, well, that dirty credit card, those dirty people, they deserve it. No, we let them do it to us. Look up here. You kids listen to me real good. Did they make you sign? Did they come to you or did you come to them? God says, don't go in debt. And we need to learn. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. There's nothing wrong with having a boat. There's nothing wrong with the stuff like there's as long as you can pay for it. But what happens is you get Christians going out and buying everything, and they can't pay for it. Hello? Are you still with me? And we wonder, well, God, I don't know why you're doing this to me. God, why are you doing this to me? I think God looked up. He probably says to some of them angels, hey, Gabe, did you just hear what he said? I did that to him? I told him, I grieved his heart. I told him not to charge. I told him to wait on me. I grieved, yet he said, I'm not waiting on God. And now he's blaming me. Hello? Don't blame God for your problems. We blame God. Look up here. I'm done. I got to stop. But I'm not gonna, I'll start with you kids in my office. Let's be better Christians. Now I know you can't pay cash for everything. I understand that. But sometimes you don't have to buy something. Save up if you need a dryer. I know the big items, it's hard. But like a dryer, a washer, or, you know, I don't know, dishwasher. Save up a set of tires. Save up some money until you can buy it. Don't charge it. I got thinking, Carl, you realize, Billy, some of these kids that buy this stuff, they're within the first year, they're going to probably pay more money on the interest if they would have just waited 4 months and just put their cash away in a bank. They probably could have paid cash, had the thing sold, paid for, debt-free, and wouldn't have a bill. See, but we just don't want to wait. We're everything's instant. Everything's right now. Drive through quick to, you know, right now, right now, right now. We need to learn to pray. God, I really need this. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you really need it, if you really need it, because I thought about stuff when I was in Toledo. My wife and I have had a wonderful life here in Ravenna. And this church has done taken well, very good care of me and my family. Thank you. I've never wanted, you people have done well by me and Rosie. But I remember in Toledo, there was days I didn't know what we were going to do. And I'd watch God bring me cars. And I'd watch God send money in the mail. And I watched God. You know, sometimes I look back, I think sometimes I had greater faith then than I do now. See, when you have to depend on God and trust God, see, what happens is this, and I'm all done. I don't even have a credit card. I used this the other night. I got stuck. And I had to call AAA, but I've already paid. I paid the $58, so it didn't cost me nothing. Amen. See, just pretend this is a credit card. See, instead of trusting God, we'll run this till the gamut's out. And then we'll say, oh God, I'd have nowhere to turn. No, you had before you ever took that plastic out, you could have turned to him and waited on him. Amen. But we don't. You're going to buy a car? Try to save up some money. If you can pay for all, it'd be great if you can pay it all, but try at least save down maybe a fourth of it if you can. How many are still with me? A house now. You know, to me, a house is, buy a house. I'm going to tell the kids, get a house. A house is a good investment. Yeah. You got to lay your head down somewhere. Why have 20 years of receipts just paying that you made the rent payments? Why not? Own something 20 years, you own it. That's just wisdom there. Yeah. But you don't need to charge a refrigerator.
Right.
You don't need to charge a pair of tires.
Right.
Hello? Am I making sense to anybody tonight? And I'm going to tell you, if I'll be a better steward, if you'll be a better steward of God's money in the whole church, you realize how much money more we could give to the missions and stuff like that, that really matters? I mean, that really matters? I hope I didn't come across. I want you to have, I'm not against you having anything. Did I come across? You didn't understand it, right? I'm just saying, make sure that in your wants you can. That first, God wants you to have it, and then you can pay for it if you do get it. Because all the money I have is God's. I like what Mike said. We think, well, we gave our 10%. The tithe is the Lord's. I gave no. The tithe is the Lord's, but all I have is God's. The songwriter, he said, the air that I breathe, he just lending to me. And I owe it all to him. And I'm going to tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes. And I'm going to tell you something. Try not to make mistakes in debt. Because debt will tear your life up. And debt will tear a marriage up. You young people, try to pay everything with cash. Now, the big items, I know there's big items and sometimes you can't. But I would try to, before I would buy a big item, I'd want at least half down. Or, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm so worried about this country going under, I don't want to own nothing. And so, say, God, if you want me to have that, then you show me. And God, if you want me to have it, supply my need. If he supplies that need, make sure that that's what he wants you to have. Amen? I hope just that little thought. Don't be a co-signer. Don't ask anybody to co-sign. And don't you co-sign for anybody else. If you don't get anything I said tonight, walk out of one thought from this preacher. Don't be a co-signer and don't ask anyone to co-sign. Because Proverbs 22 says, don't be of surety for debt. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I love talking about money, don't you? Because the more we're out of debt, the more we can give for God. And that's what's really going to count. Because that's what we're going to take with us. The kingdom of God, the things for God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for our people. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless us. Help us to be good stewards of our money. Lord, it's not our money, it's your money. Help us to be good stewards. Help us, Father, to use wisdom before we charge things. Lord, there's a lot of things that we've charged. Really, things that we just, it's a fleeting moment of the flesh. These people are on diets. I thought about this. We ought to go, we ought to starve the flesh. We ought to go on a diet. We ought to be on a diet from the worldly desires of all the world. We ought to starve ourselves from those worldly lusts for all the things that we don't really need. And Father, help us to desire the things that we do need from you. Help us, Father, to be good managers of all that you give us. And help us to give you glory for all that is. And Father, bless these people tonight and help them, Father, as they make their daily decisions. Help them to make the right decisions that you would be pleased with. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.